May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you like to sit down? I'm sorry that my voice is a bit unpredictable as my chest is not well. But anyway, I hope that I am not alone in listening to the news every night with some anxiety these days, just to find out what has upset the US president today, or how much more dangerous the world has become, or just how wide the gap between the very rich and the very poor in our world has grown. I try to work out from a combination of radio and TV and online sources just what is really happening around the world. What should I be concerned about? And what should I pray for? We live in a world in which there is more information than ever, but much of it is not trusted, and there is very little certainty. We live at a time when living after the flesh, so to speak, with no regard for the life of the spirit or the well-being of anyone who is neither someone like us, an apparently intolerant liberal thinker, nor the latest currently fashionable outcast. Now, more than ever, we appear to know the price of everything and the value of nothing, and seem to have collectively forgotten that we are all, each one of us, made in God's image, brothers and sisters in God's family, and each one of us, whether we agree with each other or not, loved and precious in God's sight. As people who are called to pray for the world and for one another, it is really important to know as accurately as possible what is happening in our world, to look for the best available knowledge and information. And in this context, it is more important than ever that our Christian faith makes us somewhat countercultural, that our concerns reflect authentic and faithful living, that our lifestyles are transformed by the risen Christ, transfigured by his grace, because we are called to be living lives of grace and courage, lives of love and service in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called to follow the example of Jesus and share the good news of his coming and of our salvation. And the good news is this, that God loves us. God made us in and for love, to love him, ourselves, and one another. The principles do not alter, though our understanding may grow and change. Our gospel reading is the well-known warning from our Lord about false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing, more relevant now than perhaps ever before, because there are more sources of information for them to use. The constant multiplication of media is both good and bad. Because quantity can cause confusion, our critical abilities can be overwhelmed, and sound judgments become difficult to make. On the other hand, we can discover new and exciting and wonderful things, helpful resources and sources of information, and even just basically useful things, like speedy communication, emails and text messages, or even online shopping for those who are housebound. There is, though, a darker and secret side to many of the new media and the dark web, giving evil and destruction greater opportunities to spread and grow. Much available knowledge has become suspect and trivialised, so trust is undermined and conspiracy theories gain too ready an acceptance. And oddly, much experience has become virtual. So authentic experience, which is basically real life, which cannot be cropped or edited or improved upon, becomes undervalued and unobtainable. For example, babies and young children whose parents spend more time interacting with their technology than with their children, deprive them of eye contact, and thus in later life diminish their capacity for making meaningful interactive relationships with others. Or again, too great an exposure to internet pornography, especially when young, apparently raises unrealistic expectations and develops attitudes which undermine capacity for having real, appropriate, meaningful sexual relationships with real people. Time does not allow us to consider online violence, grooming, bullying, or stalking, but it's all out there, damaging lives and development. It's all out there, being a part of the wolves in sheep's clothing, because initially most of it doesn't seem like anything particularly harmful. Additionally, there are the issues around algorithms, which without effort on our part limit us very often only to getting information which reflects our existing interests and beliefs. We have to make real efforts to search for things or information that we may disagree with, but which we need to know about in order to be properly informed. And there are also the problems of the genuinely deluded who teach false doctrines not found in scripture or in tradition or just not reasonable. Our own Anglican Church teaches us that the doctrines of our faith are based on three things: scripture, tradition, and reason. All that is necessary for salvation can be found in scripture. The tradition is the record of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, and their important discoveries in faith, which they passed on for us to build on and develop. And then there is reason, which is our own thinking and reflection, our study and search for new understandings. It is, though, quite slow learning compared with the potential speed of web-based learning, though genuine discernment really does require reflection and study. It needs us to apply ourselves, needs us to spend time on it. It needs us to make an effort. So how do we respond to the seeming sheep who are really wolves and the false prophets who will lead us astray from our true calling? There is, firstly, our own Anglican teaching of scripture, tradition, and reason, which provide us with a starting place to weigh up new knowledge or fresh teaching. Then there is our own active commitment to the search for discernment. And then Jesus himself gives the disciples two key tests to use to judge the truthfulness of the prophet or the dangerousness of the disguised wolf. It's a sceptical approach, which again needs us to make judgments slowly, depending on the grace of God for the gift of discernment. And the first test is whether or not the visible outcomes are we, or they, doing the will of the Father. Using the parable of the sheep and the goats as an example, are we, as a response to their teaching and prophecy, all showing generous and hospitable compassion in caring for the sick, feeding the hungry, giving a drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, or visiting those in prison? The second test is similar. Jesus said to the disciples, "By their fruits you will know them. You will know who to trust, because the fruits of a person's life are reflected in the ways they respond to others and their needs." So, for example, according to St. Paul, the mark of the Christian, or the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all of which will be reflected in the lives that we live. Those who are genuine are not abusive, nor are they exploitative of others. Nothing is foolproof, and we will probably get things wrong and may often need to repent and try again. But we should keep an open mind and ask for God's help in living authentically, following in the footsteps of Jesus. May God give us the grace and the courage to persevere. Amen.